talk to you today about why you work better and look better under pressure. How many of you went through some pressure today? Okay, that is everybody in the room. How about this week? Do I have any takers for a month this month? How many of you are ready for it? It could be New Year's already because this year could be over in Jesus' name. I tell you what, we all have pressure. And I don't want to compare pressure at all, but I can't talk about your pressure because I don't know it. So I'm just going to talk about my pressure. We got some stuff going on, y'all. We've been working 12-hour days all week because we have this event going on tonight. I mean, you get it ready for 1,000 ladies to come throw a party. You got to make some food, right? And then we've got this big secret. You know, y'all know about the secret coming out? I know what the secret is. And for $5, you can go buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks. But we got this big secret. We've got this new series. Then I wake up this morning and I sounded like this. You ever had one of those mornings where you're like, I don't know when that pig crawled up my nose, and I don't know how to get him out, but he's got junk coming down the back of my throat. My head felt like it was going to explode. My daughter shows up, and she's got to be somewhere, so my daughter has to be somewhere. So we get up, we run out of the house, and I called him. I said, I'm going to be late. I don't have to wash my face to see you, but I do have to brush my teeth. I brush my teeth, we go, we get her delivered. I come back, I walk in the door, and my son wakes up, so I got to spend my time with my son. Well, as I'm dropping my daughter off, I see my sister for the first time in 3 months, so while I'm there, I have to spend quality time with my sister. So then I get my son taken care of, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call. Hey, you forgot to run that appointment, honey. I had forgot to take care of my wife's stuff. So I have wife pressure, so I got to go run, take care of this appointment. The business end wasn't taken care of, so now I got to take care of my business stuff. Well, today is supposed to be my day off, and some things happened at the church, so they called me, hey, we need you to review this stuff. And now I got business pressure. I got to take care of my business stuff. Now it's 2:00 and I got to write a message. Right about then, ding dong, the alarm comes in and the alarm guy walks in. He says, your alarm is broken. I just need to run some tests. And for the next 30 minutes, my house sounds like this. Woo, 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 woo. That's peace and quiet. He walks out the door to knock, knock, knock. My daughter-in-law walks in. She's been at the Florida campus for the last 2 days. How you doing, bunny? I'm ready to spend some quality time with you. I'm like, I'm ready to spend, oh, I love you too. She's there for 10 minutes. My husband walks out the door from being at the Florida campus for 2 days. He sits down. My mom walks in the door and I haven't seen her. And then my daughter walks back in. And then I finally said, that's it. Now, each one of them thought I was crazy, but you are moms and dads and sisters and brothers, and y'all have jobs and churches and things pulling on you in every direction. You get it. It's that moment when you say, I don't know if I can handle the pressure anymore, and I don't even feel good. So I finally, can I be honest with y'all today? I walked in the bedroom to my husband. And I may or may not have worked up my best snotty. I might have, like, just waited till it sounded just right. In my sweatpants and my sweatshirt. And I said, honey, I don't know if I can do this. Maybe you should do this tonight. Maybe you should preach. And he looked at me and said, girl, you work better under pressure. I'm going to say that to you right now. I want you to say it. Say, I work better under pressure. Under pressure. And I'm going to take it one step further. Say, I look better. Under pressure. Under pressure. How can I even say something like that? And every time I get into one of those pressure-filled situations, I think, this has never happened to me before. I mean, not this kind of pressure, not in this place, not this way. Does it feel like that when all the pressure comes? The enemy just releases your mind and you automatically forget about what happened last week or what happened when you lost the job or what happened the last time you didn't get groceries done or the last time you didn't get dinner cooked. You know what happened the last time you didn't get dinner cooked? They made peanut butter and jelly. They lived through it. What happened last time you didn't buy groceries? They ate Hostess cupcakes for dinner and thought you were mom of the year. What happened the last time you didn't get the report done for your boss? You turned it in the next day. But in the moment, everybody say in the moment. We start thinking that we might not live through it, but we work better under pressure and we look better under pressure. In Romans 5, it says, moreover, let us also be full of joy now let us exalt and triumph. I'm like, I love this scripture. I am full of joy. I want to exalt. I want to triumph. And then it says, in our troubles. So what, God? In our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving and endurance. I'm like, God, you just lost me right there. You just lost me right there. You want me to read your word and get excited about trouble and trials and pressure. And that's when I was reminded of about how a diamond was made. And you know, I always thought a diamond was made out of coal. So I just started researching on the internet about diamonds being made out of coal. And everybody's like, no, diamonds were never made out of coal. Coal and diamonds don't have that much in common except for they've got carbon in them. Diamonds are actually made out of the same thing as graphite. Do you know what graphite is? It's the lead in your pencil. That lead in your pencil that's flaky, that lead in your pencil that's soft and it breaks, that lead in your pencil that you write it down and then you don't like it and it is so not permanent, you erase it and make it go away. Diamonds are made out of the same thing as the lead in your pencil. There's one difference. And I wanted to be able to like be really smart and memorize this so I could look really cool and maybe slightly nerdy, but in a good way. I needed like red glasses to make it work. To tell you exactly what happens, but I'm gonna read this to you because this is almost like reading the Bible. It says the difference between graphite and a pencil and a diamond is this: the heat and pressure. It has to be under immense heat and it has to be under great pressure. And the heat breaks down the current bonds to free up the carbon atoms. Y'all just didn't get down and shout like I would right there. Let me explain to you what that just said. It breaks your chains and it frees you up. Oh, no. Y'all are giving me this nice patty cake, and I got it, but I haven't explained it to you yet, because when I do, you're going to get more excited than that. Wait. Let me tell them guys over here, because y'all are just still calm. It breaks your chains. It breaks the chain of depression. It breaks the chain of sleeplessness. It breaks the chain of I can't handle that man or that spouse or that woman one more day. It breaks the fact that you can't handle your boss. It breaks the fact that your children are breaking your heart. It breaks the fact that you can't figure out where the finances are going to come from and you don't have to know because he does. It breaks the fact that you don't know where to go because he knows where to go. It breaks the chains that are holding you down. It breaks the chains that are weighting you to the ground. It breaks every chain and it frees you. It gives you freedom, sweet freedom. How many of y'all could use some freedom in here? I want some freedom. But how do you get the freedom? It takes immense heat. How many of you, your mama said to you once upon a time, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen, right? But the kitchen is where all the good stuff is. It comes to Thanksgiving Day, I am the official taste tester of the 2014 Thanksgiving Olympics. I gotta make sure that stuffing is right and make sure that turkey's right. Now, I don't wanna cook none of it because that's work. But I wanna taste it all. But if I'm gonna be the taster, if I'm gonna partake in the good stuff, if I'm gonna be where the great stuff is at, I gotta be able to handle the heat that is going on in the kitchen. And if you have ever been in a restaurant, and you're out there and you got your tablecloth and maybe you're at a really cool place with a candle or at least Cracker Barrel, they got them too. And you're eating your food and your server's being nice and you didn't have to fix anything. You got no sweat. You don't even have any food on yourself yet because if you're me by the end of the meal, you'll be wearing something. But if you go back to the kitchen, they are throwing down. They are throwing things. It is hot. There's a server yelling at a cook. There is a cook yelling at a server. There is a manager that's yelling at everybody. There is food on the walls. There is food on the floor. You don't even want to look at the floor because if you look at the floor in the kitchen, you don't even want to eat out in the dining room because in the kitchen, it is hot as Hades. But when you're in the dining room, you don't even know about that. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. But if you can't stand the heat and you get out of the kitchen, you're going to get away from the good stuff. Who wants the good stuff? I want the good stuff. If you want the good, you got to deal with the heat because the heat brings the freedom. The heat breaks the chains. But it never, ever feels good when you're going through the heat. I'd done stuff I don't want to do all the time. I was playing tennis, and you guys might see me sometimes. I do this little thing, and it makes me look completely just stupid, and then I got to turn it like this, and it's like, oh, isn't she cute? She does weird stuff with her arms in public. But I tore my tendon playing tennis because I was trying really hard to beat my husband, and sometimes you just got to do whatever it takes. And so I was trying to win so hard, and, you know, I guess I was hurting myself, but I can't let him know that because then I'm not tough, so I'm just grinning and bearing it and grinning and bearing it until I finally have to go to the doctor, and they're like, oh, look at you. You ripped your tendon off your arm, isn't that sweet? What were you doing? I'm like, trying to beat my husband. Is that noble? No, that's not noble. So I have to do these exercises. So they tell me, okay, what you need to do is you need to wear this big black splint on your arm for 2 or 3 weeks to keep you from moving your wrist in the wrong direction because that's how you hurt your arm. I said, oh yeah, I will, but that's ugly. Now, you guys might not be prideful enough to have worry about that, but like I would wear it all through the week and then I'd come to church and, you know, get, I don't want to wear that with my church clothes. It doesn't match my outfit. I'm wearing light pink with a big black brace. Y'all just ain't honest. I had these cute heels to wear tonight. And I put them on right before I got on stage and I thought, I don't know if I can walk in those. I might fall down. So I had to wear these shoes. I didn't want to wear these shoes, but I did wear these shoes. But after about 3 days, 4 days of wearing that brace, suddenly my arm didn't hurt nearly as bad. Sometimes you got to do these things. Sometimes you have to walk through these things. Sometimes we have to go through the motions. Sometimes we have to stand the heat in order to get the thing that we want. So it says the heat breaks down the current bonds to free up the carbon atoms, and the heat energizes them. It energizes them to bond covalently. I couldn't even remember that word. This is why I couldn't just memorize this. I couldn't memorize covalently. So it energizes them to bond covalently. And the immense pressure helps the carbon atoms form an order in a tightly packed fashion. The result is that the atoms are reordered into a pattern that looks like pyramids stacked together, and it is now a diamond. So it could be either a flaky pencil lead, or it could be one of the, it could be the hardest naturally made surface known to man. It can be either so soft, the pressure of your thumb could break it, or it could be so hard, ain't nothing gonna break me, baby. It could be the difference between breaking down because somebody looked at you funny, or it could be the difference of being able to stand the test of times no matter hell, high water, overflow, underflow, flood, fire, the furnace, no matter what comes. It can make the difference whether we flake out or whether we shine bright. So Daniel, in Daniel 3, there's three guys. There's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they have to go to the fiery furnace. You see, a lot of times we want God to allow us to avoid the problem. You know, we think, I'm a Christian now, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. My life is now going to have no problems. So I'm going to walk through life, and if there's simply a dip in the road, God will lead me around it because I'm spiritual now. And I will go around the dip in the road, and I will continue on my path in Jesus' lovely name.
I became English. I don't know.
And then we watch our sister walking around and we watch her stumble into that pit and we go, oh, she must not be praying. Mm-hmm. If she was like me, she would have missed that pit. We want God to take us around the pit. We want God to take us around the furnace. We want God to deliver us from the situation that we never have to go through it. But we have to be patient enough, we have to be wise enough to wonder, if God's gonna let him go in the furnace, what's he gonna get out of it? Because it's gonna be good. So these three guys, what do they get thrown in the furnace for? Worshiping God and not worshiping idols. They blow this trumpet in town, doo-doo-doo. They blow the trumpet, all these guys are supposed to get down and worship this fake God. These three guys, they say, mm-mm, we ain't doing it. We ain't bowing down, so not worth it. So they go their merry way. The king finds out. And when the king finds out, they have this furnace that they put bad guys in, and they throw them in there, they burn them up, boom, and it's done. Well, it made him so mad that they weren't bowing down to his God, he said, make it 7 times hotter. And when he made it 7 times hotter, even the guards who had to throw in these 3 bad guys, the guards who threw them in died. If you got close to this heat, they were gone. But these 3 guys, you have to think what they must have been thinking as they were going to the furnace. Because the king had told them, I'm going to throw you in this furnace if you continue to worship your God. And they said, we're going to continue to worship our God whether or not you throw us in the furnace. We believe our God is going to deliver us from the furnace. And if he doesn't deliver us from the furnace, we do believe he'll deliver us in the furnace. And if he doesn't deliver us in the furnace, we still wouldn't worship your God. They were taking a stand. So you got to think, you and your 2 best friends have made this stand for Jesus. You are just sure God is going to deliver you. And then they come get the handcuffs, and you're getting close enough to that fire that you start sweating. And you're like, God, you remember that prayer I prayed about how I love you and you're going to deliver me and I went public with all that? You better hurry up because I'm sweating. Through my clothes, it looks like I wet my pants. Wait a minute, I did. And then the guys next to him die. You have to think about this. If the guys next to him die, did they die before they went in the furnace or did they die after they went in the furnace? Because as I'm reading the story, I just have to wonder, did the guys die and the 3 just went ahead and went in the furnace anyway? So they get into the furnace and the king's looking and he says, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 guys in the furnace? They said, yeah. He said, well, I'll tell you what, there's 4 guys in the furnace now and one of them looks like God. So let's just step back for 1 second. If they never made it in the furnace, would the king have changed his mind? If they had never gone to the furnace, would they have been so sure that their faith was so steadfast? If they had never gone to the furnace, would it have been a witness to so many people? If they had never gone into the furnace, would God have gotten the glory? Amen. If they had never gone in the furnace, would God have gotten the glory? So here they are, they're in the furnace, and God's not burning them up. You know they got to be freaking out. They got to be like, oh my God, we're not burning up. Those guys out there are dead. They didn't even come in. My clothes are burning. And these are my favorite chucks. They're still good. Woo! You know they're in the fire like throwing down. And the king says, you guys come on out of there. They're like, yeah, yo, cool, we got this. I ain't even sweating, yo. They come out of the fire, and the king says, what just happened? If you're going to get the attention of a king, if you're going to change somebody's mind who mind would not change, if you're going to break the bonds and you're going to break the chains, if you're going to see freedom like you have never seen before, you got to be sure that God's not always going to take you around the furnace or deliver you from the furnace, but he's going to let you know, hey, baby, your girl, you go on and you get in the furnace, but I'm going to be with you the whole time. You won't even smell like smoke. You won't get burnt. You're going to have a little swag walk when you get out because you're going to be cool because he doesn't do it for our glory. He does it for his glory, right? But if God's going to get glory through you, he's going to get some glory to you. So when they came out of the furnace in Daniel 3, verse 30, it says the king promoted the guys who died as they were throwing them in the fire. No. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to an even higher position in the province of Babylon. I'm here to tell you right now, when you go through the pressure and when you go through the heat, you're going to get promotion because pressure brings power. Somebody give God praise in here. You know what that means? That pressure you were feeling today? That was a transference of power. You know what that means? That I ain't gonna quit, I'm gonna go into the furnace, that is a transference of power. You know, when that diamond is being created, it goes through that immense heat and it goes through that immense pressure, and it is what changes even the atomic structure of what it is. It changes from something that is soft and will crumble, and it becomes something of great value, of great worth, that people seek after, that you can leave as legacy, as you can leave as inheritance, that people want, that people will show off, that God will show off, because God knows that you're not gonna crumble real easy after he shows you off, because he's already made sure that you're hard enough to stand the test of time. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and tell him, pressure brings promotion. Look at the other side and say, bring on the pressure and bring the promotion. You can't. Yeah, y'all got a little bit scared on that second one. You're like, bring the pressure. Wait. No, no. I'm telling you, don't get scared. Don't get scared, because pressure is a vehicle of promotion. Pressure is a vehicle of increasing your value. Once you have withstood that pressure, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I can't sing, but you know what I mean. I'm so glad American Idol's going off the air. That can be my excuse of why I never won. You see, they went off the air before I got a chance to try out. That is my answer. But pressure creates power, and nobody wants a fake diamond. You see, a lot of us, we want the diamonds without the pressure. We want to wear it. We want to cha-ching it. We want to bling it. We want the promotion at work. We want to be the head of the prayer team. We want to lead the Bible study. We want to be the head PTA mom. We want to be the leader in the group. Somebody look at what I've done. Somebody look at my cha-ching, cha-ching, my leadership ability. Tell me I make the best cupcake. You might have my recipe, but you can't bake my cake, because I'm just all this, right? But what happens when we have a fake? A fake's not worth anything, and nobody really wants it. Let me say that again. A fake's not worth anything, and nobody really even wants it. I had a fake ring once. I didn't know I had a fake ring, but I found out. That was a day. You see, I was getting divorced, and I had kept my engagement ring through the divorce. And it came to a point where, without his income, I needed to pay the bills, so I went to sell my wedding ring. And I didn't wear it anymore. I left it in the dresser at home. You would think it would be safe there. So when I went to the jewelry store where we bought the ring, and I was friends with the jeweler, I said, hey, here's what's going on in my life. I don't want to do this, but I have to do this. And at first I thought he thought I was the most horrible person on the planet, because the look on his face as the blood drained out and he became white and he looked panic. I thought, he thinks I'm a horrible person. And he said, Nicole, I knew this day would come. So when your ex-husband came in to sell the diamond out of your ring and replace it with a CZ, I made him write the note in his own handwriting. Here's the note. He put it back in your drawer. Nobody wants a fake. A fake's just not worth as much. A fake's not hard, it's gonna crumble. A fake isn't desirable. A fake isn't gonna leave a legacy. So we have to be careful not to envy what somebody else has, so we try and step in their light before it's our time. Because some people have already gone through the pressure that it takes not to crumble when they get there. And they've gone through the heat not to freak out when they get there, so that they don't get lifted up to a position where other people look to them in Jesus and then they fall. And they think, well, if it happened to them, it probably happened to me. I don't need to follow Jesus anyway. We gotta endure hardness like a good soldier. And there is a reward when it happens. So we're not gonna walk around and pretend that pressure doesn't come. Even in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we've experienced. And he says, in the province of Asia, you can say in the province of St. Louis, or in the province of West Palm Beach, or in the province of my world. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. so that we despaired life itself. Here's the thing. Pressure comes. Pressure happens. But when you understand what it's able to do in that time, there are times now when pressure comes to us, we know if we're going to open a new campus, pressure is going to come. If we're going to move into a new city for Christ Jesus, hell is going to break loose on every front, and the enemy is going to fight us everywhere. If we're getting ready to take some territory, the sky is going to fall, the roof is going to cave in, the basement's going to flood, and all just craziness is going to break out all around. And you know, instead of going, I don't know how we're going to do this, everything is just crumbled, and I don't know, I can't handle it anymore. Actually, like I was about an hour ago before this message. What happens in that moment is we go, hey, wait a minute. I know what is happening here. Lives are going to be changed and destinies are going to be adjusted and eternities are going to be changed from here to there. I tell you what, lives are going to be affected. Y'all don't know that I'm talking about you. I am talking about when the pressure comes, you just look and say, I'm being cut into a diamond. When the pressure comes, you just say, I know my value is going up right now. You know, and when the pressure comes, say, Jesus, I'm not doing 1 carat. Give me 5. I'll take 5 carats. Make me a 5 carat. When the pressure comes, you tell him, make it flawless. Make me shiny. When the pressure comes, God is seeing, will you stand in this amount of pressure so I can make you shiny? And there'll be more pressure to come to grow you and make you bigger again. But it's because I love you and I trust you and I am turning you into something great and something valuable. Amen? Give God a praise. Woo! You know, in the Message Bible, we started in Romans 5, and in the Message Bible, the end of that scripture says, God will do it. In alert expectancy such as this, we're never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. So in the beginning of that scripture, he tells us that the pressure's coming, that we're supposed to endure it, and we're supposed to like it, and we're supposed to be joyous about it. But in the end, he tells us, because he's about to pour out blessings that we can't contain, happiness we can't contain, peace we can't contain, joy we can't contain. You know what that means? It's going to overflow on our family, and it's going to overflow on our coworkers, and it's going to overflow on our friends. It's going to overflow in our city. It's going to overflow in our church. There was a little girl named Katie, as I close, and she had saved up her money to buy a little strand of fake diamonds. They were sitting at the store, and she begged her mama, and her mama said, well, if you earn the money, and you save up your money from your birthday, and you weed the neighbor's yard, you can save up enough money to buy those for yourself. They were 10 whole dollars. So she saved for a few weeks, and she waited through birthday and Christmas, and it took her a while, but she finally saved the $10, and her mama took her to the store to buy the necklace. So she was so excited about that necklace, she put it on, and she wore it every single night. She even wore it to bed. And her daddy finally came into her at nighttime, and he would say, Katie, do you love me? She said, yes, Daddy, I love you. And he said, can I have your diamond necklace? Well, Daddy, I'll give you my Beanie Baby collection, but I really love my diamond necklace. Can I keep it, please? So you can have your diamond necklace. Daddy came in about a week later, tucking her in, praying prayers, and he said, Katie, do you love me? And she said, Daddy, I love you. And he said, would you give me your diamond necklace? And she said, well, Daddy, I'll give you my favorite American Girl doll and I'll give you my baby bed, but I really want to keep my diamond necklace. Can I keep my diamond necklace? He said, you can keep your diamond necklace. About a week later, he walks into Katie's room, and Katie's sitting on the edge of her bed. She's got big crocodile tears coming out of her eyes. And he walks into the room, and he said, baby, are you okay? She says, yes, Daddy, I'm okay. Tonight's just the night I'm going to give you my diamond necklace. And Daddy said, Katie, I've been waiting for that because all this time I've been waiting to give you a real one. Don't look at the pressure as a bad thing when it comes. Don't look at the heat as a bad thing when it comes. If God asks you, can you take a little more pressure? Tell him, I'll take a little more pressure. Because when you come out, he's going to make you a diamond. It's not going to be worse. It's going to be better. Because it's never for less. It is always for more. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray. God, I pray for endurance. I pray for perseverance. I pray for patience. I pray for clarity of vision. I pray to be able to see in the spirit what you're doing instead of seeing in the natural what we want to do. I pray that your will be done, not our will. I pray that we can understand your will. I pray that if we don't understand your will, that we don't doubt you and we do it anyway. I pray that we have an all-out vision for God. I pray that we follow him no matter what. I pray that there are many diamonds created in this room. I pray that there are many diamonds created in Florida. I pray that there are many diamonds created, and they shine brightly for you, God. Not for our glory, but for the glory of Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.